How are we going to start this morning, do you think? That's right, Sue. Who are you in Christ? Yeah, you can think, oh, well, this is getting to be a habit. Yeah, it's a good habit. Who are we in Christ? And I'm going to repeat again. You're a child of God. You're born again of the Word of God. You're delivered from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. You're an ambassador for Christ. Are you taking on board all of those things? These are all wonderful things that we can take on board. But let's remember what? You're a work in progress. We're not there yet. We're coming through on all of these wonderful things that God's got for us, that God says for us, that we are. And we may be just be an embryo, we may be further on in some, but we're a work in progress. God's changing us from one degree of glory to another. That's what the Word of God says. So you're one degree further on than you were yesterday or last week, yes. How many degrees are there? That's right, thank you, John. As many degrees as you like. So don't think, oh, I haven't achieved much. There's an awful long way to go. There is for us all. There's a long way to go. But we are getting better all the time, and we're moving forward in God. And He knows where we're at. Who we are in Christ is so important. We really need to know who we are. There are two kingdoms. Darkness, ruled by Satan, and light, ruled by Jesus. Satan will try and convince you that you're his. That you're held captive in the kingdom of darkness. But after repentance, we're born again. We're born again of the Word of God. This is so important that we really get hold of it. Because Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We read in Acts 8 that Philip was told to go in the wilderness. Yeah, that's a big step. He's in the middle of a big revival. Things are going on great. And he's told, go out in the wilderness road by yourself. He's obedient. He met with the Ethiopian. And if you remember the story, he runs alongside and he gets in the chariot and he starts explaining to him Isaiah. And they get to some water and the Ethiopian says, I've accepted Jesus. What's stopping me being baptized? So they get down and as they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. That's what the Bible says. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away and he found himself at Ashdod. That's 20 miles away. He was there. 20 miles. We see in John 6:16, Jesus walks on the water. He frightens the disciples and they were glad to take him into the boat. That's what it tells us. And immediately, the boat was at the other side of the sea. No messing about, no more rowing, nothing. He was there, immediately. They were transported from one place to another, instantly. Oh, that's the Bible. That happened then. Okay. This is a chap, to give you the insight to start with, he's told that you've got to share God. And he's been on a ministry trip with another chap. And he says, right, from now, we are going to do nothing Those on Wednesday night have heard a little bit about this. We're going to do nothing but talk about God and what God has done. We're going to glorify God. We're giving our testimony of what God has done, what we've seen. And they do that, and that's 2 aeroplane flights and a car ride. They do nothing but talk about the exploits that they've seen and what God has done for them. Once we arrived in Vancouver, his brother picks him up at the airport. They got in the car and they carried on with his brother talking about Jesus. We merged on the highway in Vancouver where we're telling my brother about our recent events. I glanced back at Craig in the back seat just in time to hear him let out a yell of surprise. What, I asked. And he said, "Dude, we're in Mississippi. What's going on?" So they've been moved from Vancouver to Mississippi. So I look out the car window, and much to my shock, I see what he's seeing. We're no longer in Vancouver. We're in some other place. Even his brother, who's driving, realizes that the road is no longer familiar. It appears they were instantly and briefly transported for 2,700 miles off one highway onto another. Craig, still looking out the window, says that he sees this guy mowing the lawn and he recognizes him as a friend that they grew up with. Man, this place is weird. And then all of a sudden, they're back. A few days later, he calls his friend in Mississippi and he says, "You were out mowing the lawn." And he described everything around him. He says, "Yeah, that's right." Okay? They were transported 2,700 miles. Why am I saying this? I believe we've got to be open to the things of God. Does that stretch your thinking? You think, how does that happen? And you know, it's so easy to dismiss something like that as being stupid. It can't possibly happen. Well, if Jesus could be moved, and the boat, and the disciples, if Philip could be, why not now? Is God the same God who was there now? So yes, we've got to get our minds round these. Okay, we might not be able to grasp it, but we've got to get our head into gear of thinking, well, if God's doing it, we'll accept it. We'll not balk at it. We'll not doubt it. They were transported. We've got to be open and prepared. I do not want to restrain or restrict God in any way for what he's going to be starting to do in this place, what he's already doing and what he's going to continue to do. Have you ever been transported? Theirs was briefly, but I'm going to tell you, you have been. You've been born again. And when you were born again, you were transported out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as you're going on with the Lord, you are there. It's not a brief transportation. It's a long term. It's an encounter. We've got to recognize that you've been delivered out of Satan's kingdom. You're in God's kingdom. You're transported to a different realm. And you can only get into that different realm, as Jesus said, only by being born again. And Jesus says, "I am the door." Nobody can just walk from one kingdom to the other whenever they please. They've got to go through the door. And that door is Jesus Christ. And he will take us from one realm to the other. We can say the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But Adam and Eve gave it away, didn't they? Yeah. Jesus died and rose again to reclaim the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's with us. Since that time, when Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, forceful men and women have been taking back the kingdom. It's not fully reclaimed yet. If it was, why is there all this evil going on around the world? God led the Israelites out of Egypt and led them by a long route. Why? Because he was looking after them. They hadn't been trained for war. They'd been slaves. They were used to picks and shovels and sickles, but not swords and shields and spears. And they had to be trained for war. It's thought it was possibly a year that they were wandering for the first time. It could have taken less than 2 weeks with a direct route, but it's thought that God moved them round, training them all the time as they were going round there. They had to be prepared. Were they? They were in unbelief all that time. They'd been told that God was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey, a good place to go. But when they saw the inhabitants, they were frightened. They weren't prepared enough. They let their thoughts overtake what God had said. They bowed down to their own thinking rather than bowing down to God's thinking. Do we trust God? And how much? We're in a preparation time. I believe God wants to introduce us to different things. So we've got to be receptive. As he introduces, for us to receive, and use this in the right sense of the word, get familiar. Not be shocked, but take on board what God wants to be bringing. I don't want anything to stop the flow of the Golden River that God showed me the other week. Nothing. So Father, I recognize that I've got a lot to learn, that we've got a lot to learn, and we need you so much. Guide and direct us, we pray. Make us open to you and to your ways, to your promptings. How open are you? They'd been on a crusade with 70 youngsters down in Ecuador. At the end of 2 weeks, the last day there, they thought they would go shopping and get a few gifts. So, for 2 weeks, we'd done nothing but preach the gospel and spend time loving on the poor. On that trip, we saw an amazing harvest of souls. Over 5,000 people gave their lives to the Lord, and we saw many notable, remarkable miracles: tumors dissolving, blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hearing, and even cripples walking. I like the way they put "even cripples walking." I mean, that's, you know. Then, as the trip came to an end, they said they go to Ecuador, and on the last day they go for a walk, and the guide takes them, and they walk 2 hours away from their hotel, downtown to the shopping place. And while he's walking, this chap said, "I began missing the time. You know, I haven't spent with God for 2 weeks because I've been pouring out and giving out, and I need a refill. And, you know, all my energy's gone preaching and loving other people. And I'm desperate for more of God." And I said, "Lord, I need to be filled up with your presence. All I've done in these past few weeks is pour out your love. I need a touch of your glory, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me." And the verse that "anyone thirsts, let him come to me" came to his mind. And he says, "By faith, I began to drink of the Holy Spirit. With my hands, I made imaginary shot glasses." Bearing in mind, this is on the sidewalk, on a busy street. And he starts drinking living water with shot glasses. And he says he took at least 200 shots of water. So how long is that he's drinking away? And he says it was awesome. a pure joy entered his soul, and he began to laugh out loud, uncontrollably, in the middle of the street. It was God filling me up and recharging my spirit, just like you'd recharge a cell phone. I was physically exhausted, yet the strength of the Lord coming into me. Then the friends come out of the store. "What are you doing?" So embarrassed as they look. "You've been a clot. Why are you so crazy?" I said, "Don't care what you guys think about me. It's been 2 weeks since I've had any time with Jesus, and I want him now." So he carries on drinking. And they, well, that's a good idea. So there's the group of them on the street drinking these shots of Holy Spirit presence. They're all getting to the stage where they're laughing and speaking in tongues in the middle of the street. God giving them, giving God the praise and the glory on the street corner. And then one of the friends says, "I'm hungry. I want something to eat." So they asked the tour guide, who was obviously in amazement already, somewhere to eat. He says, "Well, there's nowhere decent to eat here. Nowhere at all. They're in Ecuador there." Yeah, so he says, "Right, we'll have to go back to the hotel." Okay. So we just kept enjoying God's presence, walking about a block and turned the corner. Then our tour guide suddenly, freaked out, pointing his finger up at this sign and screaming, "We're here! We're here! How did this happen?" God had taken them. Bearing in mind, it was a 2-hour walk out away from the hotel. They went up one block, turned the corner, and they were there. God transported them as a group. God does amazing things when you hunger and thirst after him. And I want us to get hold, start getting hold of that more and more, that God does amazing things. God can do anything he wants. And let's get that into our heads. There is no restrictions, no hindrances on God whatsoever. Apart from one. He cannot lie. And his word says, signs and wonders will follow. It's in Indonesia, just another story. He was about to preach one night to a big crusade. He was preparing, and God said to him, "The Muslims will listen to you if you demonstrate my power. I want you to guarantee that the first 5 people who are deaf will come up to you and be healed instantly. Guarantee it." Now, I don't know about you, but that takes a lot of courage to stand up in front of 6,000 people and say, "Right, if you're deaf, come forward. God's going to heal you. Guaranteed." The first 5 people who came forward out of the crowd of 6,000, 4 were instantly healed. And they went to the 5th one. There was a little girl. She was deaf in one ear from birth. In fact, she had no ear. She had no ear. She had no ear canal. And they prayed for her. An ear canal grew. An ear grew. And she could hear. Yeah. Blown your mind yet? Yes. That night, the next part of the crusade, there are over 600 Muslim youngsters came forward at the front of the platform, and they were weeping and wailing, writhing around like snakes on the ground, being delivered and accepted Jesus. That's the power of our God. You know, we're told, aren't we, in Scripture, greater things than these will you do. And sometimes we're told, "Oh, that greater things is, oh, that's because there's more of you." Yeah. greater than Jesus? What's greater than Jesus? Mass deliverance, 600 in one go. Jesus never did that. Or we never get it recorded he did that. Yes, he delivered people, but that was more individually. Greater things than these shall you do. That's what Jesus said. Not what I'm saying. Not what the apostles wrote. That's what Jesus said. Greater. And we've got to get that into here and into here. Greater things than these shall you do. And you notice that's you, not just one person. God wants that for all of us. Anybody who's born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, has power of Holy Spirit upon them. And anyone can pray. Yes, we've got to learn. There's techniques and different things, but I don't care. If you're the only person in the room that knows Jesus and somebody needs prayer, you can give it and God will anoint you. Six hundred youngsters writhing. That would be a fantastic sight to see. Wow! Yes. The funny things excite me, you know. Yes. Yeah. I'm sharing this for us to learn. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. These are their testimonies that what Jesus has done. So it's for us to get hold of and say, look, we're going to do the same. Or we're going to do more. We're going to do increase. Why do we have to stop the same? Let's go to 700, shall we? At 800. 1,000, yeah. Who, any advance on 1,000? Yeah. Yes. Let's get hold of it. Don't shut off these things when we hear them because we haven't experienced them. That's the biggest killer of anything. That's not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I haven't seen it that way before. So what? There's a lot of things we ain't seen. That doesn't mean to say it's not of God. We've heard about Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Coleman, Heidi Baker. We've been looking at all these different revivals on the Wednesday night. Can we have the, Yvonne? How about this one? You've seen it before, some of you, but I just want us to get it, because I like it. Yes. Oh, so, oh dear.
It's obviously stuck.
It's not playing.
I need to delete it.
There you go. I'll carry on then. And we'll come back into this. Yes. This is an unplanned Holy Spirit interruption. Isn't that good? Do we want more of God? Are we thirsty? The Israelites didn't believe God, did they? Human thought overrided God's thoughts. So God said, okay, 40 more years sword drill. Walk around again, practice some more till you get to the stage where you recognize that I'm the God, I'm in control. But one thing about it, you older ones, you're not going to get into the kingdom. You've disobeyed me directly, so you will not get into the new land flowing with milk and honey, apart from two of you who believe me. It was their choice. Yeah, God listens to us. Just tell us when you're ready, David. And God tells us, you know, he listens to us, doesn't he? Jeremiah 33:3. Yeah. Call to me and I will answer. And I will what? Yes. Show us, tell us things that we do not know. Isaiah 65:24. Before they even call out to me, I will answer them. Before they're finished telling me what they need, I've already heard. Our God's great. He knows. You think, well, why should we ask him? Because he wants us to. He knows before we ask, but he is willing to answer. Our God has a willingness. Why? Because he loves us so much. We're stepping out. God's birthing a new move. And it's been stuck. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Go back to that then. Okay.
Then this is important. Who is the Holy Spirit?
Well, there's a lot to that. But I like to say that the Holy Spirit is Jesus without boundaries and limitations. The Holy Spirit is Jesus on the cloud, as you would put it in technical terms, like technology. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us boldness to evangelize. Think about what he did with Peter in Acts chapter 2. The same man who denied Jesus now boldly proclaimed the gospel. And for every time he denied Jesus, 1,000 people came to the Lord. Think about the Holy Spirit and how he stirs faith within the soul, causing us to believe for the miraculous in ways that we would not have otherwise believed. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to pray, because no man or woman, no matter how anointed they are, knows the way into the presence of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the way into the presence. And so in prayer, he guides us. In worship, he reveals Jesus and makes him real, causing our hearts to be stirred and burn with holy fire till we cannot contain that passion that overflows with us as adoration of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to walk in holiness. So for those who are bound and weighed down by the shame and the sickness that is sin, the Holy Spirit offers freedom. He is the holiness spirit, the one who breaks the power and the chains that, even those habits that people have had for years, he breaks those addictions, he breaks those bondages. The Holy Spirit is the one who delivers the captives from demonic oppression. The Holy Spirit is the one who moves in us and gives us revelation of the Word. Sometimes when we read the Word, we're saying, I just want to see Jesus. He causes the information of the Word to go from just information to revelation, and revelation brings transformation. The Holy Spirit is the one who goes with us and gives us the words to speak when we don't know what we should say. In those moments where we're saying, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know how to win this one to the Lord. I don't know how to speak. The Holy Spirit will stir within you words that come straight from the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens the heart of the sinner, causing them to go from stubborn, stone-hearted individuals to people who bow before Jesus as Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who anoints us for ministry and appoints us into the call of God. He takes ordinary lives and makes them lives that transform the world. I like to say that a single moment spent in the presence of the Holy Spirit can transform your life, but a life spent in the presence of the Holy Spirit can transform the nations. The Holy Spirit is that something more. He's that deep stirring. What was it, do you think, that caused the martyrs to lay down their lives and say, take my blood, we want to preach the gospel. Jesus is Lord. That's the Holy Spirit stirring the love of God in that heart, shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us all the promises of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who causes us to walk in the perfect will of God, not by the day, not by the hour, but down to the millisecond. Like,
you really love the Holy Spirit.
You really love the Holy Spirit, do you? That's it, thank you. Yeah. I don't know, do you get the excitement? Is it stirring within you as he's talking there? This is Holy Spirit to him and to us. It's the same Holy Spirit. He wants us to get acquainted. He wants us to get excited. We've got to put some effort into it, though. It's not a case that, okay, there you are, you've got it. Pick it up and walk with it. No, come on. He said, come on, come to me. We express love to Father, the Father God. We express our love to Jesus. Do we express our love to Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the one who is with us, who comforts us, who guides us, who helps us, who protects us, who does all of these things? I don't know. Can anybody repeat what he said? You can't. That's the passion he's got. That's how well he knows Holy Spirit. And actually, I think if we had time and I didn't spring it on you and you got a chance to sit and write it down, you would get a lot of them. Perhaps not all, but get a lot of them. But that's the way he's talking there reflects his relationship to Holy Spirit. What's our relationship to Holy Spirit? Do we want more? Are we thirsty? God's birthing a new move. It's been stuck. It's now unstuck. We've been called to push and to focus. Push and to focus on what God's doing. To fight, to stand up and fight and fast against anything that's standing against what the Lord is saying. We've got to keep moving forward. Yes. You know, we've got to stand against opposition. Because there's always opposition. And there's those who do not recognize what God's doing that'll turn around and say, this is not God. Why is this year any different than any other? Because right down the centuries, that's what's happened. And that's why things have been corrupted and diluted, watered down over the centuries. Till we've got to a stage where we've got a weak, wishy-washy church that's fast asleep. Or perhaps that's perhaps waking up. Yeah. And the critics are invariably the ones who haven't or can't. They haven't stepped out, they haven't tried, and they're so quick to criticize the ones that have tried. I was reading a thing by Bill Johnson the other day, and he said somebody came into his office and gave him a book about why the Toronto Blessing was wrong. And he chucked it in the bin in front of them. He said, I'm not even going to read that. Why? Whenever we're getting doubt, whenever we get criticism, that's doubt. Doubt can creep in. There may be an element of truth in it, in some areas. But as soon as you start putting doubt in, you block whatever God's doing. We're not meant to be doubting. We're meant to be asking for understanding if we don't understand. When Nehemiah had opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshen, he replied to them, the God of heaven will give us success, and you will have no portion, right, or claim. Very clear. You're opposing the work of God, and you will have no portion. That means you won't have a share. You will have no right or claim. You won't be entitled to it. And you won't get any part of it. And that's the thing, the same with the revival. Oppose God, you won't have any part of it. Accept what he's doing, and you can receive. Why? The God of heaven will give us success. That's what God says. God's telling us, I read last week, that he's going to shake. Part of the word that were brought was, watch the places where my glory is going to fall and reside. Watch the humble spaces and places. For many places where my manifest presence will reside will be unexpected places, but they are faithful places and they are pure places. They are not prostituted places. I'm coming to shake. I'm coming to shake, to rattle and roll. That which is not of me and has been built on man's efforts and prides. Many have thought that the shaking has come and gone, but I've only just begun. I'm going to shake so violently in this hour that it will restore awe of who I am, and it will cause my people to return to my face with their first love, for I am a jealous lover. God's telling us we've got to push. God's telling us we've got to focus. He's telling us he's going to continue to shift things and shake them. He said, from March beyond, I am raising up a people who live with their faces between their knees in focused prayer and intercession, and who refuse to move from what I have spoken. Can you hear the sound of the rain? and it's forecast for another full week of rain. Can you hear the sound of my outpouring? Can you hear the sound of my army being mobilized on earth in deep repentance to me, focused upon who I am, feasting upon his word in the Rhema, and standing strong in the awareness of their need for me and in God's authority? I was talking with Mike on Thursday morning, and I told him I was going to steal this. Said I was going to use it, because he said he'd been looking at Matthew 24 again, and something again had just jumped out at him. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Have you seen there's been a massive volcano eruption, was it in Iceland today? Yeah. We've been seeing the famines, some man-made famines, some other types of famines. We've got wars. I don't know how many wars there are. At one point, there were 66 wars going on around the world. Yeah. And just moving through all of these things. But it's that little next sentence. These are the beginning of sorrows, in one version. These are the beginning of the birth pains. God said that all those years ago. Look where we are in history. Look where we are now in time scale of God. You couldn't write that any clearer, could you? The things that are going on around the world are in Scripture, and they were written 2,000 years ago, and that's what we've got now. And God's told us then, and he's telling us now, these are the beginning of the birth pains. We're pushing. Revival's been dispatched. The babies in the canal were pushing through to come to bring to birth. That's what God's been telling us over the last few weeks. That's what we've got to receive and keep moving with and keep going forward. We're not there yet. On Tuesday, we're at the leaders' meeting in Lincoln, and Ed Wells, the pastor from Switzerland, he was giving us, he said, what, it was asked what he was going to bring, and he said, well, I'm just bringing, I haven't got a main thing, but I'm just bringing some tapas. Who's been to Spain and knows what tapas is? You go into the bar and there's little nibbles. And he was just, take your pick, which one you want. Extraordinary comes out of ordinary. Love the small, it will accumulate. You know, we've had it before, haven't we? God says, don't despise the day of the small beginnings. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're being prepared. God's giving us signs and wonders in the world around us. It was also said on Tuesday morning, when Elijah poured water on the altar, remember the story with the prophets of Baal, and he poured all that water, and he said, bear in mind, it was in time of drought, that water is extremely precious, yet he poured all that water out, and he made a pool in the desert, in the dry place. What was he doing? X marks the spot, Lord. This is where the lightning's got to hit. Because that water would attract or conduct the electricity more than the ground around it. So, psh, on the water. X marks the spot. What Elijah was saying is, I'm making this wet. This is impossible. You can't do it. It's sopping wet. It won't light. even if we've got our matches and our sticks out. But God did it. Boosh. Lightning came down. He made a pool. He marked the spot, the place to attract God. Well, he was saying, here it is, Lord. And that's what we've been saying. Here it is, Lord. We've been inviting God here over the years, haven't we? Can you remember when the plane of God was hovering around, flying around, trying to find a place to land? We've invited God several times to land his plane here and said we want to work with him. We've shown him that we're willing, that we're able to carry things on. What else have we seen? The miraculous. What about the fire that was raging this way? And you know, you say, oh well, it was a long way away. It was across the road in a different field. There was corn all around us. And fire can jump. And we prayed, and we were outside, weren't we, John? And we saw the fire turn. The wind was blowing this way, really strongly. And we asked God to turn the fire. And he did. And when I was telling Catherine, my next door neighbor, who's that field was on fire, what had happened, she said, that's exactly what happened. She was in the field and she watched the fire. It was moving that fast, they couldn't run fast enough to get out the way, and it just turned and went back on itself. That's God. What about the worship day? Yes, the lightning, bang. And everybody in the room jumped. It was that close. God's saying, I know you're there. I know you're there. What about floods? We've had a lot of them. That field out there has been underwater for weeks. And I said to Ellen, coming back in, it had dried out the last few days. I said to Ellen, coming back in, you can see it. It's just coming above the surface again. You know? The spot's marked. The spot's marked. God knows we're here. Yes. Why am I emphasizing the kingdom? Getting us to recognize the kingdom of heaven. Getting us to recognize our place in the kingdom. We are residents. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Why is that so important? God is telling us he's going to shake the nations. God is telling us he's going to mightily shake the church. What about the kingdom? Does the kingdom get shaken? Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The kingdom cannot be shaken. Shaking may go on all around us. When I was preparing this, I thought of Elijah. He ran away. He hid in the cave. And what happens? Tells us in 1 Kings 19. There was an earthquake. The wind was smashing the rocks. There was all sorts going on. There was turmoil. But Elijah was safe in the cave. And when it was the right time, God said, come out. And listen to the still small voice. The nation will be shaken. The church will be shaken. But the kingdom will not. So it's so important that we recognize we are children, citizens of the kingdom. So we've had the increased presence of God. We've had the signs all around us. Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never be thirsty again. But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst. For God will be welling up continually. The spring of water, the Holy Spirit, will well up continually, flowing, bubbling up within us to eternal life. God wants to fill us, like that guy drinking the shot glasses. Are we thirsty? Are we ready to say, we want more of you, God? We want more of you, God. More Holy Spirit. Come fill us. So we're not just full, we're overflowing. We're bubbling over. That means you can't control it. It's bubbling over. Yes. All things are possible. Let's get that in our head. No matter what your eyes see in the natural, from March and beyond, keep your eyes on me. There will be a greater movement of my spirit, greater momentum of my spirit, and a move of my hand to bring divine order and demonstration of my power and glory. That I am the great I am. This will be seen in a greater way. My glory is coming. Incoming glory. For in the darkest places of my glory will be manifest. My glory will be revealed. He's going to shake things, but he's going to birth things. Get ready for the shaking and the awe that's going to be going on all around. I'm restoring the awe. I'm restoring the awe of who I am. It's for us to recognize more and more who God is. Can we have there's a declaration. Are we thirsty? Father, from deep inside of me, I ask you to fill me. Spring up, O well. Let a new song of hunger flow from within me. O God, spring up. Father, I confess that I am thirsty and I need you so much. I need the touch of your presence. Teach me to drink of your life. God, not only do I want to be a life within me, but I so long to be a life giver. I want there to be an overflow of life from me. I don't want to survive, I want to thrive. Thank you, Father, that life will come forth. I believe streams of life will flow from me and touch the nations. I believe that life flows from me for people. More water, Lord, I pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. So are we ready to let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe? For our God is an all-consuming fire.